Blog Talk Radio.
This has always been a word planet. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being in Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. So I want to know how many people are excited about the word tonight. I said, are you excited about the word tonight? If you're excited, get up and we're going to just celebrate the word together. Ah, here we go, y'all. Talk to them.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, we are thankful just to be on the broadcast today. Welcome to the Prospering Soul. We are going to be continuing to talk about forgiving someone and someone close is our topic today. We're kind of piggybacking on what we were talking about on last week when we were talking about, forgiving your parents or forgiving siblings or forgiving someone that was close, that someone that was close to you that hurt you. And so we want to just continue that. We have some awesome testimonies on the call that are going to be online today and telling their stories and how the Lord blessed them to overcome some horrific situations that may have happened by someone that was close to them, but the Lord blessed them. And so we're just so thankful for the people, the body of Christ, that, you know, that the Lord has really moved mightily through and was able to heal their hearts and to heal their minds and begin to allow them to forgive the person that really had hurt them. And so we're so thankful for that because, like we said last week, forgiveness is a choice, but it is not an option. And so it is something that God is requiring from us, and he does want us to do and want us to make sure that we have forgiveness in our heart because he has forgiven us for the things that we've done, and so he wants us to be forgiving to others. That's why when Jesus was praying in the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive them of their trespass. Forgive me of my trespasses. I forgive those who trespass against others and who have trespassed against me. And so we want to make sure that we have that type of heart in the heart of Christ and what he does. And so we're going to pray. I want to open up with a prayer and just begin to go through our lesson today. I thank the Lord for each and every person that is already on the call. I thank the Lord for those that will be calling in, those that will be logging in, and those that will even listen to this broadcast later. I hope that the word will fall on good ground and that you will be richly blessed and that your life will be changed because of it, and you will begin to find in your heart ways to forgive those that have even hurt you or that, you know, or even you ask for forgiveness for someone that you may have hurt. It could be the other way, and you not really even be aware of that. But anyway, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And so I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our Jehovah Jireh. You're the Lord, our provider, and you are Jehovah Nissi. You are Jehovah Shalom, our peace. And we thank you for all of the things that you are to us, God, because you are everything. And, Lord, we thank you for your mercy because it endures forever. We thank you for your grace, that unmerited favor that we did not earn, but, Lord, that you have granted it to us, Father. So we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a loving and a forgiving heart. We thank you for the peace of God, rest, ruling, and abiding with us. And, Lord, we just ask you to bless each and every one that needs to hear this broadcast, that they will find it and that they will be able to hear what the Spirit is having to say to the church today. So we thank you, Lord, for it. Lord Jesus, let's lead and guide us. Let us always teach not in error, but teach us to teach the truth, that people will be blessed and people will be set free and delivered. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. I know I have about 4 callers on the line so far, and I want you all just to introduce yourself. Hello?
Hello, I'm Minister Janet.
Oh, good morning.
Minister Janet Merritt.
Oh, good. How are you today?
Man. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you. And who else is on the line?
Elder Tiffany Willis.
Praise the Lord, Elder Willis.
Amen. How's everybody doing today?
Wonderful. Well, we're going to continue to talk about, I have some others on the line, but we're going to continue to talk about, we were talking about last week how important it is to forgive those that have hurt us, even that are close to us. Because sometimes, people that are close to us, even like our parents, and I think one of the discussions on last week was how that, you know, sometimes children are still holding grudges against their parents and for things that happen, and the parent not really even being aware that was something that was going on, that, you know, they had even done anything wrong. Because a lot of times our parents were learning as they went along. Especially if you was that first child that they had, this was a new experience to them, and so they were learning as they did. So they might not have dotted every I and crossed every T, but their intent was to be a blessing to the children that God had so graciously gave them. And so we want to always keep that in mind, that it wasn't that they were trying to do anybody any hurt, but they were trying to do according to what the will of God was saying at that time. And so it might not have been, so by the time they had another child, it might, you know, things got to be different. And so we just want people to be able to let go of the hurts of the past. And even if that means you have to confront the person and have a discussion with them about it, because they may not even know, you know, what they did. And I think one of the callers on the line last week said that, you know, I didn't even realize that what I was doing. I thought they did this for the other children because those children needed some special attention. And the reason why they didn't do it for them because they thought that person was mature enough or that they had what they needed, and so they didn't do the same thing with each child, not knowing that it was hurting the other child because they felt like they were being slighted in some way or another. And so we had those types of discussions on last week, and then because we have to come to a place where we allow the Lord to begin to heal us. If we don't ever forgive, then we can't begin, the healing process can't even begin with us. And so we always want to make sure that we're not still holding on to grudges or, you know, and the things like that, because sometimes the effects of those types of things can really be harmful to our own health if you don't let go of it. And so I was thinking on this week that how we need to let go of those things that hurt us. And even if you look at it from, I give this example a lot when I'm ministering, when I'm telling people, you know, sometimes you have to give up that thing that hurts you. Like, it's just like a diabetic, somebody that's on diabetes that's diabetic. And, you know, even though the red velvet cake tastes good to you, it's not good for you because of just the way that your body processes these things. And so is it good to keep eating something that is really hurting you just because you don't want to discipline yourself to say, well, I can't do this anymore, but I'll be okay? I told somebody, I said, I hadn't drank pop like since 2003, and I said, and I'm still living the day, because some people say, well, I just can't give up that pop, I can't do that, but I'm still okay. I haven't missed it. I haven't, you know, I'm not sitting over here thinking, well, what about, well, you know, none of those things that happen. We have to learn how to forget and forgive and to let go of those things that hurt us so that we can be healed. And forgiveness of forgiving someone else is a product of you beginning to be healed within yourself. And so I know I have some wonderful testimonies, and I don't want to take up a lot of time because I want everybody to be able to share their story today. And I know I'm going to start with Elder Willis because I know she's on the line and be able to tell her story about, you know, because I really want people, there's so many people that are holding their parents in contempt of court is what I call it, because they feel like, you know, well, they treated the older sibling better than they treated the young, or they treated the younger sibling better or what have you, but yet they still grew up in this wonderful household where the father was in place, the mother was in place, and but yet they still feel, and I'm not saying their claim is not valid or their feelings are not valid, but is it worth not forgiving them for because of the choice that they may have made, or maybe they felt like that child needed more attention than what you needed? So those are some of the things that we really want people to begin to think about and begin to get in a mindset of wanting to be healed from those things, and even if that means confronting somebody just to tell them, well, this is how that made me feel. Because a lot of times the parent doesn't even know, or the sibling doesn't even know, or the cousin or the aunt or the uncle, whoever it is, doesn't even know that that's how you feel. And so sometimes you have to discuss these things in a nice manner to be able to get to that place where everybody can begin to be free and begin to live guilt-free. So we have a lot of parents that are living guilty because they feel like, well, I was trying to do the right thing, but evidently I wasn't. And so we want people to begin to be free in their spirit, in their heart, and their soul, in their mind. Elder Willis, will you begin to share your testimony? Hello?
I'm sorry, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, now I can, yeah.
Okay. I have a I had a half-sister that was murdered when I was really young. And I think it was really devastating. Well, I know that it was extremely devastating for my dad. And he never really talked about it. There came a point where we knew that it was, you know, Terrence was here, she did live, but okay, that's just something you don't talk about in the household. And I think over time, I know that my dad really loved us. He really cared about us. When my parents separated, when they divorced, I felt like that maybe he put up a wall so that he would never feel that kind of hurt of when you lose a child. And it's almost like when you have and I hate to compare people to animals, but the first pet that you ever have, you know, or the first child that you ever have, like you said, Elder Bryson, you put a lot of time and consideration. When a mother has her first child, or parents have their first child, they put a lot of time and consideration because that's their first child. They want everything to be right. But around the time that the second and third will come around, they get a little comfortable and feel like, okay, well, you know, we've got this under our belt. And I feel like that at some point maybe my dad just kind of disconnected himself so that he wouldn't ever, if something ever happened to one of us, he wouldn't ever feel that deep pain and hurt and anguish that he felt with my older sister. And so I will say this, I can say I got a lot of courage from, I gained a lot of courage from my dad and watching him. But inadvertently, it bred something in us that, you know, you just pick up the pieces and move on. And today our pastor was talking about your heart and how other people, they grieve, they deal with things differently. And somebody, it might take them longer to get over things than other people. But, you know, we were just always tell you just pick up the pieces and move on. There's nothing you can do about it, so keep it moving. But what happened was I felt like he disconnected so to where, you know, he was just able to move on to another family. And I never could understand fathers who could have a whole other family somewhere and kind of just disengage from the one that came from them, like that's their blood. And so for years, I kind of just, I don't think I was really, the older I got and the more I see things, I began to understand some things, but it was very hurtful. So I had to come to a place where I understood that God was my father. And I don't get me wrong, my father is a wonderful man. He does. I believe in my heart that he does care for us. Sometimes people, if they didn't get that as a child, they don't know how to give it to other people. And for 13 years of my life, my dad was like the number one dad on the face of the earth to me. But I feel like something happened where he always put up a wall to disengage himself so that he would never feel that the type of hurt that he felt when Terrence was murdered. And my sister was shot between the eyes and left for dead. And so part of that was learning to forgive, knowing that I would never see my sister again. And another part of that was learning to forgive my dad, because I don't know, you know, you never know what a person is going through when they're grieving or when they've lost somebody. And I was really young, so I couldn't really feel what he felt in losing his child. But I can understand now kind of why he built that wall up. And so God had to bring me to a place of knowing that, you know, that my dad does love me. Because for a long time I felt like, you know, well, maybe he doesn't really, I think he cares about us, but I don't know stuff like so much that he just loves us. You know, you go through that as a child, especially people that have single-parent households or that their father might not be in their life or what have you. And I had to come to this place of peace in knowing that whatever I needed in my life, God had it in my life. And if it left my life, if it was no longer allowed in my life in a certain way, not that I don't, because I can pick up the phone and call my dad, you know, whenever. But if it wasn't in my life in a certain way or the way that I thought it should be or felt like it should be, it was for a reason. And that everything that I need, he's giving to me or has given to me. And it doesn't have anything, it won't affect the outcome of my destiny. So in saying that, I really think that I had to come to that place of peace, knowing that whatever God has for me is for me, and what I need is there. What I don't need, it's still going to be all right.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing that. That's such a blessing. But just like you said, it took time for you to come to the awareness of that he was hurting, and that was the reason why that he was acting the way he was doing. It wasn't that he really was trying to hurt you all per se, but it was because he was coming from a hurt place itself.
Because the saying goes, hurting people hurt people. And you'd also subconsciously set out to do that, but in running from hurt, you end up being someone who is hurtful. If that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really, and these are the types of testimonies that are on the call today, of just sharing, you know, how they had to overcome these situations that occurred in their life. And so I thank you so much for sharing that. That's such a blessing to hear it from that perspective, and just to hear the maturity that came along with you growing up and as you went along, actually figuring out that, you know, it's what it is. And he does love me, but this is just how it is. So you move on from that point. And now I want to ask, I have Elder Poston on the call, and he was giving his testimony a couple of weeks ago, and then I'm going to have Elder Willis to introduce Janet in just a little bit. We'll get through these, and then we'll have her come on in a little while. But I wanted Elder Poston, and then I have Elder Timberlake on here as well. She's going to tell her testimony. And then I think Thomas McGee will be on here, if he's not on here now. I don't think he is. But anyway, he's going to also tell his testimony of when he finally did get to meet his father, because he went for 33 years without knowing who he was. And so, but I want Elder Poston to talk about, because he talked about, testified from the fact of almost handing down a generational situation because of the way he felt. Elder Poston, will you begin to tell us your testimony of your relationship with your father and how, you know, that all transpired?
Yes. First of all, praise the Lord, everybody. Thank God for the opportunity to share with you, to have a moment to be transparent. And for those who are asking why are we doing this or talking about forgiveness and having people come on to share their testimonies, I just want to give a couple of scriptures, Revelations 12 and 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we're testifying about the things that God has brought us through, the things that God has done, so that someone else can also know if they're facing similar situations that just as God brought us through and healed us, our testimony is to encourage you that God can do the very same thing for you. When I was little, my mother and father were married when I was born, but I don't have any memory of them being together. So they got divorced when I was yet a baby. But I do remember always telling my mom that, you know, I want to go live with my daddy. I want to go live with my daddy. And the one thing that I have to say in compliment to her is that she was never the mother or the type of woman that ever spoke anything negative to us about our father. And she just allowed us to grow up and see and then make our own mind up as far as how we felt about what he did or what he didn't do. And I was just always crazy about my father. And I am the middle child. My father's youngest by blood, and then yet a middle child again with the marriage. So as much as I want to be the baby, I can't. I'm in the middle. But nonetheless, I had opportunity growing up when I had opportunity to actually go live with my father. But before we get to that, I just want to share with you that some of the things that kind of, I would say, hurt me as I was growing up was the difference that I felt like my father was making between me and my older brother. I was never, in my opinion, able to really choose, say, for instance, the clothes that I wanted to wear to school. I was just handed, these are your items, and this is what you get to wear, where I saw my brother get to pick out his stuff. I was always too young to do something or too old to do something. But being a boy, I needed to know who I was, and I needed that from my father. Knowing that now, then I just knew that it was something I wanted and longed for from my dad. And he came up during a time where, you know, men were men. He brought us a boys don't cry. There's certain things you just don't do. And he was never lovey-dovey, huggy-kissy-kissy on you or anything like that. And so when it came through to a situation where I got an opportunity to go and live with him through some mess, I was excited and expecting to get the attention, the affirmation, the pronouncement, a blessing over me of who I was when I was living with my dad. But even being in the house with him, that was missing. And so the longing for that, the attention, turned into being hurt and feeling as if he didn't love me or they didn't care about me. Now, we got to understand, but from his perspective, you know, the hugging on you, the kissing you, the telling you that I love you, that just was not anything that was in him. His father didn't give it to him, so he couldn't give it to me. At that time, I didn't realize that. And so I wanted that, didn't even really know how to express to him what I wanted or what I needed. And so the hurt then turned into anger. And so when I became a father, I made up in my mind. I used to tell my son when he was little, you don't have a grandfather. I'm the only father you have. I'm the only father you need. And I didn't take him over there to see his grandfather. I didn't talk about it. And it was just like, I'm your father. That's it. And so as time went on, I did have an opportunity. I remember him and my stepmom calling me into the dining room to talk to me, and him just asking, or her just asking me what was going on with me, what were some of the things that I was dealing with. Now, mind you, I wasn't in trouble. I was an honor student. Did my best to excel in classes. I did do some sports. I excelled in art. I made a point in an attempt to get his attention and to get his validation. And, you know, then it became almost a competition between me and my older brother. And I made up in my mind, whatever my older brother did as far as sports and stuff, I did the opposite. So when he played basketball, I didn't want to play basketball. I played tennis. When he ran cross country, I didn't want to run cross country, but I ran track. And in all of my efforts, still not getting the affirmation or the validation that I felt like I needed. And at the time, I felt when they called me in, this was an opportunity for me to just come clean and really tell him how I feel. And I told him, you know, how I didn't know if he loved me. He didn't come across like he loved me. He never said it. He was always doing things for my older brother. That if we were asked for the same thing, I was told no, but you would grant it to my brother. And I couldn't understand that. You didn't come to my art shows. You didn't come to my track meets. But you made me go to my brother's basketball game. And even though I went, all that did was just fuel the anger, and it just made me even more and more mad at him, even though I was living with him. And so as I got older and dealing with my son, I said, I'm going to make sure that my son never feels about me the way I felt about my father. Because when I shared with him what I felt or what I thought of my perspective on things, he sat there at the table and looked at me and said, that is your fault. Whoa! I was like, what? Everything that I was feeling, everything that I poured out trying to be honest with him, he looked at me and said, that's your fault. And that was it. And so years went by again, and throughout that anger, I finally had gotten to a point where when I really began to seek the Lord, to find out who God was, I had to come to a place because I told myself, either I'm going to forgive him and let this go, or I'm going to allow this to make me miserable for the rest of my life over something that happened in the past that I can't change. And even if we wanted to go back and change it, we couldn't change it. And then how the enemy was trying to get that cancer festered on to the next generation, which would have been my son. And so it was extremely difficult, but it took time, and I began to pray and ask God to help me. And then slowly but surely, I began to let it go. Now, the one thing that always amazed me, though, is I would have people that knew my dad that would come to me and be talking to me and say, oh, your dad is so proud of you, and he talks about how good you're doing in school and that, you know, you're a good father taking care of your son. And I was looking to them really dumbfounded, like, not my daddy. He ain't said nothing good about me because he never said anything good to me. But rest assured, when I decided that I was not going to hold him captive or hold him guilty for something that he did not have to give me, or if he did not know how to express love toward a son because it wasn't expressed to him in that way. It's almost like you hear people say when they're raising kids, well, I only had, you know, one pair of Converse. It was good enough for me, so that's good enough for you. Wrong. That's wrong, my brothers. You shouldn't do that. It's critical for you to impart and to let your son know who he is. I look to him for my validation. And the hurt turned to anger, and then I began to finally let it go. And by much to my surprise, when I began to let it go, I began to see, I began to feel better. I didn't allow that negativity and that hatred and that anger to be passed on to my son. I took him to see his grandfather, talked to his grandfather, call him, all that kind of stuff. And I remember one time when I came home, I had moved out by this point, and I came home, and I went and rung the doorbell. I went to my block, my dad's new house, and he came and opened the door. And when he opened the door, he just grabbed me and hugged me and then kissed me on my forehead. Now, after that, I was standing there in shock, like, oh, Lord Jesus, is somebody getting ready to die? You know, what's going on? Because it was not anything I was ever used to getting from him before. But I began to see how when I gave it over to God and didn't hold him guilty for something that he couldn't give me, whether I understood it or not, because I decided that I wanted to make sure that I gave my son what I wanted, being a son. That's when I began to get more of the validation, the affirmation of who I was from my dad. And I thank God that I had gotten to a point, the God that got me to a point where I began to see things a little bit differently than just my perspective. Yeah, it would have been great to get all those things, but God is sovereign, and he knows what I need. And in going through that, I learned, and now I'm able to share with other young men that have issues with their fathers, that there are some of us who are born, I think, innately more nurturing, more sensitive. You know, this, we always hear that that's the mother's thing, that's the sister's thing. You know, men don't do that. That's not true. There are fathers who love on their kids and hug on them and talk to them and spend time with them and affirm who they are. And some of the things that I did with my son out of that situation, for the brothers, I would plead with you to consider your relationship with your sons and your daughters, not to assume that because you came up a certain way and you feel like you came out okay, that that's good enough for them, because that may not be the case. And one of the things I want to refer to in Genesis chapter 49, I'm just reading a little bit of it. It's talking about Jacob's prophecy, and it's Genesis chapter 49, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to just read maybe the first couple of verses. And it says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear ye, sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." This is Jacob pronouncing, affirming, letting his sons know who they are, him being their father. And if you read on through the rest of that chapter, each son, he tells them their strength and or their weakness and confirms, validates who they are. And since this situation with my dad, it has taught me, because my nephew had a situation with my brother, and I had to explain to him that because your father is not what you would consider very nurturing, or he's not very affectionate, that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. That doesn't mean he won't lay down and fight for you. That doesn't mean he won't do whatever he can for you. But he can't give you what he doesn't have. And if he doesn't have it, that's not any fault of his own, if you understand what I'm saying. If he don't have it, he just don't have it. But don't hold him captive or be bitter about what he can't give you if he doesn't have that. But rest assured that if it's something that you need, God will bring somebody across your path to feed that part of your soul in order to get you to the place in your destiny to being what God desires you to be. So don't hold any sons, don't hold any grudges against your fathers. Did they do everything right? No. Did they do some things that are hurtful? Yes. And, you know, and I'm not even going into some very horrible things that some fathers have done. But when you don't free them, you holding yourself captive. And, I mean, there were times when I was in college and I set out a semester, and I'd go back to college and I set out a semester. And then when I would get back in, I'd go tell my dad, think, you know, I'm back in college, I'm, you know, taking this semester, wanting some affirmations. Well, good, son. Well, you know, hang in there, keep going at it. And this is what he gave me. Are you going to finish this time? And I'd be like, really? But what that did is motivate me. And that made me determine that I'm going to prove him wrong. And for me, that was a good thing. And he knew, or God used him to, I guess, push me into accomplishing certain things that if it would have been presented to me another way, I may not have made those accomplishments. I would say to fathers that I would definitely take an opportunity to reevaluate your relationship with your sons and your daughters, that your sons, I'll say this, where they need love too. And they are waiting on us, the fathers, to tell them who they are.
Yeah.
If you don't tell them who they are, I guarantee you the devil will send somebody to tell them who they're not. And if they have a void, they will begin to seek to fill that void, and it's unconscious, seek to fill that void by other means, which opens them up to all kind of negative things, and where these young men get involved in gangs. You hear them talking about, that's my family. That's just a young man that needed some affirmation from his daddy to say that you are important. I love you. You're my son. You're my baby boy. I love you. But because they didn't feel like they were getting that, then they turned to what they felt like was filling that void, be it positive or negative. Do not allow, fathers, don't turn your sons over to the enemy.
Yeah.
And since I've gone through that experience, the Lord has blessed me and my son tremendously. You know, I told my son, you know, I'm the king, you prince. What does that mean? I'm the king and you the prince. And what I did is I explained to him, you know, don't get caught up into what you see daddy has accomplished. Because what I've accomplished, you are supposed to exceed that. You're supposed to go beyond what I've done. You're supposed to go farther than where I've gone. And then seeing coming to grandfather, there's an urge and a desire in me, and I pray, Lord, I need to have, give me the wherewithal to leave an inheritance for the next generation.
Yeah.
That's what my place is. That's what I'm supposed to do. But to wrap this up, I will close by saying this. It was hurtful. It turned into anger. And that anger almost would have transcended into the next generation if I had not allowed the Lord to deal with me and my heart and my feelings. And when I gave it over to God, that's when God worked on my father. And then the things that I had been desiring, the things that attention, that affection, that's the thing that he began to give me. So I can praise God that he left me here and my dad here long enough that we got that thing straight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you so much for sharing that testimony. I mean, that's really a blessing, because sometimes we don't really hear some things from the male perspective and how, you know, how they hurt too as well. We always know that female, you know, sometimes women are more transparent when it comes to their feelings and things like that. But I'm so thankful and just for you sharing how you didn't allow it. The Lord blessed you, and you didn't allow it to continue on to the next generation. You broke that generation curse.
Denise,
and allowed the Lord to break it.
Oh, can you hear me? Hi, this is Phyllis. Hey, everybody. Listen, Tony, you know, the thing that Elder Poston, the thing that I was getting, and it really blessed my soul, that what you said was, when you finally turned it over and gave it over to the Lord, and the scripture that came to me, that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If you had continued on in your own wrath and being angry, God could not have moved in on your behalf and repaired the relationship that he, the way he has. And I really thank God for hearing that. It was a blessing to hear that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we got to press past all that. And it's so funny because, you know, there's some situations and some people, and you know, I just kind of want to retaliate. And that scripture comes to me strong. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I got to let God handle these things so everything can be smoothed out and work out. And that's what the Lord showed me through your testimony, and thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for the scripture that you gave. And I would have any of my brothers to consider Job, what his brothers did to him, and how he was thrown in the pit, sold into slavery, all of the stuff he went through. But then when he was put in a position to possibly get revenge or whatever, he didn't go to the situation with wrath, but he embraced them with love.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, this time I didn't set my time a little longer than what I did, but I do want to get all these in, so I might have to do a reset. We might have to continue on and just kind of reset it as we go. I have to figure that out. But anyway, I want Elder Willis to introduce Janet, and Janet begin to tell her testimony about what she went through with her dad.
Okay. Again, this is Elder Tiffany. This is Elder Willis, and I'd like to present to you all a great friend of mine that I've known for, I know, over 20 years, and the Lord used her to bless me, to teach me a valuable lesson about forgiveness, and she was just always been a very special person to me, always the light of Christ in her. She's that person that always sees the silver lining. She can see the good in people. As our pastor would say, as Bishop would say, you see the good in people when other people can't see any good. And I remember when she shared her testimony with me, and it really changed my perspective, like on my attitude, my character. God is still working on a lot of things. But as far as being able to let some things go. And sometimes when I harbor, because, you know, sometimes we have people that have tendencies to hold on to things. And sometimes when I hold on to things, I have a tendency to think, you know, if Janet could forgive the atrocity that happened to her and still love and still have the love. I mean, like, she's full of life. She's full of love. And she doesn't meet any strangers. She's very kind, very gentle. If she can do that after everything that she went through, surely I can get it together and find somewhere in my heart to forgive or to overlook or to not be judgmental, to pass a judgment. And I'm constantly reminded, I don't know if God just allows that to be there, that little angel that sits on my shoulder, that's her, and the consciousness that says, Tiff, let that go, you know, it's okay, you know, well, think about it. You know, sweep around your own front porch. People in glass houses can't throw stones, and that would be Evangelist Mary. And I just want to introduce her to you and want to make sure she has time, so let me be quiet. God bless you, and I hope you really enjoy what she has to say.
Well, so far I'm enjoying all of what I'm hearing so far. And one of the things that I do know for sure is when the Lord starts dealing with us about forgiveness, he's already giving us the power, the authority, the strategy, To forgive. And so in my case, with my dad and my mom being in an abusive situation with him, and me being one of the oldest to know, you know, I experienced it. I saw how he treated her, what we went through, the kids. And when he murdered her, and he went to prison for it, but when he got out of prison, the Lord said to me, he gave me that, he said, I cannot take you any further until you forgive. And so I said it with my mouth, But he said to me later on that your heart was far from the forgiveness. And so what in the Heavenly Father, godly way that he does things, he put me in front of my stepfather and to show me that I did not forgive him. So he put me in his face like maybe for a whole week, every day I had to see him. And he said to me, he wanted me to lead him to Christ. And so I asked him a lot of questions. I asked him about why did he kill my mom? Did you think about it? You know, a lot of things that I was wondering if he had thought about what happened, because then that left us kids without any parents, because you're in prison and you killed that mom. So my brother, on that fourth day, my brother went to live with him when he got out of prison. And my brother called me in the middle of the night, and he said, I'm going to kill him. Because he said his friends were over, my dad's friends were over, and they were playing cards or I guess or whatever they were doing. And they asked him why was he in prison. And he said something that got my brother really upset. So my brother calls me on the phone and says, sis, you have to come over. Now, remember, the Lord just asked me to forgive him, my dad. So I get over, and I tell my brother, you can't stay here. And then I'm looking at my dad, and I'm saying, and I said, Lord, I can't forgive him. But when I said that, I felt the Holy Spirit just overshadow me and say, and I knew I had the power. I saw him differently, saw him as our Heavenly Father saw him, and I was able to lead him to Christ through that, because I didn't see any of that anymore. And all of the hurt, the Lord flushed all of that away, and I loved him until, you know, he passed away. But it's like I'm telling you, the Lord will help you forgive. But the Lord kept stressing to me, I can't move you forward until you forgive him. And all of that hurt, the Lord helped me with all of that hurt and helped my brother, my sister. He helped all of us through me saying, okay, Lord, I can't do it. You have to help me forgive. And that's when he helped me forgive. Because the Lord kept stressing to me is that my mouth said it, but my heart wasn't. My mouth and my heart were disconnected.
Wow. That is awesome. And what the, you know, that's so interesting, because today when Bishop was talking about my heart attack, and he was kind of talking about that, about our heart being, you know, kind of connected, that's awesome. Does anybody else have anything they want to say about that? Jen, are you finished, or do you have anything else you want to say to us?
No, that's good.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing that testimony. That is really something to see, that to see something that horrific and be able to finally come to a point where you were able to forgive and lead them to Christ. That's a blessing.
Elder Bryson,
yeah.
One other thing I just want to interject is that I realize, and you going to the message we heard this morning, if you really think about it, holding unforgiveness, oh my God, it's exhausting.
Yes.
I mean, just the energy, the mental thing to take for me to remain, to maintain that anger was exhausting. You know, did you ever get to just be tired of being mad? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to let it go, because that's why Bishop was talking about no more heart attack.
Yeah.
It's just exhausting. Let it go.
Thank you. I want to ask Thomas, and this is the thing, y'all, I didn't set the time for as long this time, so we're kind of getting toward the end, and I don't know if I can reset it so we can keep going, but I would love for Thomas McGee to just begin to tell his testimony and share with us about when he met his dad. He was in his 30s before he even knew who he was. So, Thomas, could you begin to share that with us?
Well, I was 33 years old when my mom told me who my real father was. I grew up thinking that I was my last name is McGee. And I always thought that I always felt something different about the man that I thought was my father, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. So I was going through a lot of stuff in my life at the time, you know, and I had started drinking real heavily and stuff. And then my mama came to me one time. I was at my grandfather's house. She was out there hanging out clothes. So I just went out there and started talking to her. And she, I don't know what prompted her to tell me that, you know, that Pete McGee was not my father and that my father lived in this town outside of Houston. But she said that they called him Red Cotton, but she didn't know what his real name was. So I was a product of a one-night stand or, you know, the man that was my dad, he was just constantly in and out of jail. That I thought was my dad, he was constantly in and out of jail, and mama would be with these, you know, she had six kids, so she would, you know, have a boyfriend or whatever. And I think that's how I was conceived out of, you know, some. But anyway, make a long story short, when she told me that he was my father, you know, from years I, you know, was looking and trying to find someone named Rick Cotton. But anyway, she used to take me to this lady's house down in Baytown. That's where I grew up at. She used to take me down there to to this lady's house. I didn't know that was my grandmother. Now, my mother knew that this man, his name is Roosevelt Thomas, but they call him Red Cotton. She knew that he was my dad, but I didn't know it. But this was his mom. She used to take me to visit him. And I used to wonder as a little bit of boy, why is mama taking me over to this mama's house all the time? You know, it was six of us siblings. But every time she would get ready to go to Baytown, she would take me and she would take me by myself. Now, I remember this from a little bitty boy. So anyway, it's been about 5 years ago, I finally met my father for the first time. I found out what his real name was, and then I contacted him, and, you know, all that side of my family, real father side of the family, all of them are high yellow with freckles and red hair. Now, I was a little bit of a boy. I had freckles and I had red fire engine red hair when I was a little boy. But I met him. I went to meet him at a store in Baytown for the first time. And I never, you know, and during that time we met, he was standing outside the car and we just talked from inside the car because I was on my way back, coming back to Dallas, but I stopped and met with him. But when I went to, my grandmother passed away on my father's side, his mom. And so that's when I met all of my real dad side of the family. And sure enough, if you, look, when I was standing up at the funeral, this lady that my dad was dating, she said, "I know that's your son because he's standing back in his legs just like you." She said, "I knew that was him when I seen him." But anyway, it's not that I don't guess that I held anything against, there's really nothing I could do about, you know, hold no grudge toward him because he didn't know where I was. And, you know, and then someone would say, well, how did you feel about, you know, because now it's not the man, it's the mother. You know, she was the one that kept me away from my father. And so I guess I'm not a type of person that holds, like the whole grudges and things like that. That's just not in me. I know that anytime you have a lot of anger, and anger can turn into bitterness, and it'll just, you know, and it'll set in, and you're just, it makes you a miserable person. So I've learned, you know, because if God can forgive us for the things that we do, because I was thinking within myself, this is what I said to myself when my mom, when I found out, you know, a couple of years later, I got to talking, to thinking, you know, pondering and thinking. I got thinking, my mother was grown at that time. She had to make the, you know, based on her circumstances in life, there are situations that, you know, she had to make decisions on, and there are some things that she did because none of us, you know, it's a lot of us. I mean, everybody have some things in their life they're not proud of. So I came to the conclusion within myself, you know, this was the decision that my mom made based upon the situation that she was in at that time, because the man that I thought was my father, now he was very abusive to my mother. So, you know, and I was, like I said, I was just a father. And I've never really just came out and just went and asked a whole bunch of questions. I just accepted the situation for what it was. On both sides, you know, now me and my father, we, you know, we talk if not every other day, we talk every, you know, at least 3 or 4 times a week. But, you know, we have we just developed this immediate bond. But towards the forgiving part, I really didn't have a problem with forgiving my mother, because I found out, you know, I knew what type of situation she was in when we were growing up as kids with the man that I thought that was my father. So, but, you know, if the scripture says, if God is faithful and just to forgive us, then we just have to forgive others as well. Hello.
Thank you so much. Oh, I'm here.
Forgiveness is, I mean, not forgiving, that is unrighteousness. It keeps you from moving forward, because if you can't forgive, then you can't move on. And so God can cleanse us from unrighteousness if we can't allow Him to, you know, because, you know, like she was talking about how God, the lady just got to talking, how she was talking about how, you know, she couldn't move forward until she forgave her father. But that we and bitterness, you know, anger will set up bitterness, and it, you know, and you can't move forward as an anger and bitter person. You know, you'll be miserable in life.
Yeah,
so that's my testimony.
Thank you so much for sharing your testimony. We have we have 3 minutes left on this time. It seemed like the time just was flying by. Every time I looked up there, I thought, oh, my God, it's going so quickly, because I know I had some other testimonies. And if Elder Timberlake was on here, and she was going to give her testimony, but I'm not sure if she can give it in that little bit of time or not, so I don't want to press. I don't want her not to give us her full story. And so, Elder Timberlake, it's up to you. Do you want to talk about it, or you want to wait till the next time?
Next time.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Okay. Well, I just really appreciate each and every one on the call, and we're going to try to end up this unforgiveness forgiving. But, I mean, it's been such a blessing over the time to talk about it, for people to share, and so that people can hear, you know, like Elder Poston gave the scripture, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so sometimes we, because, you know, churches are different now, and so things, services are different, we don't really get to hear some of the things that people have went through that could be a blessing to someone else. And I just really hope that all of these testimonies today have uplifted somebody, or they have helped somebody, or they will help somebody that will listen to this later, and they will be able to be strengthened, and they will begin to think about their own circumstances and situations and begin to turn those things around to do it the way God wants it done, and not try to hold anybody in contempt of court. So I even had Evangelist Clay on the phone, and she has an awesome testimony too about a parent. So we'll try to get to those in the next couple of weeks or so. But anyway, I thank everybody for your participation. I thank everybody for being so honest and sharing your testimony, and just letting people see the love of God that's down on the inside of you, and how it changed you into being, you know, this forgiving person, and being able to share your testimony today. We thank God for every person that will hear this broadcast, and if you do not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, we ask you that you can give your life to Christ at any time. All you got to do is begin to speak to Him concerning that, and tell God that you want to be forgiven, and that you want to be a part of His family, and He will accept you into the beloved. And I'm going to ask that Elder Dotson, are you on the phone?
No, he's not on here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask. Well, let me ask. I was going to ask him, but I'm going to ask Thomas, will you pray us out? Hello?
don't know where he is. I don't know if he dropped off. But anyway, I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for each and every testimony. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one's life that's shared on today. We rebuke any attacks of the enemy. We rebuke anything that the enemy will try to come up. But I thank you for the blood of Jesus covering them right now. I ask you, Lord, to bless all those that will hear this message, that will hear these testimonies, that will be blessed by it. Let those that need it find it so that they can be enriched by the words that have come out of the individual's mouth, oh God, and we ask you to continue to bless this ministry, Lord, that it will continue to bless others, Lord. We thank you for it. Let people be set free and delivered, and Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, and we pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining me today, and I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.